Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and I have with me my special friend, Dr. Presser.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. Good to be with you once more.
I'm so glad you didn't hang me out to dry and not answer.
Oh, I'll get back to that. Just give us a bit of time. Need to see you settled in properly first.
I'm settled in properly. Well, if you're on our mailing list, you got to notice that tonight we have a really great free thinker, Giordano Bruno. And he was a martyr. He was killed by those people in Rome who believed that the solar system in which the Earth and the planets orbit the sun that they believed that these planets orbited the Earth. And Mr. Bruno said otherwise. And because he disagreed with the church, they tortured him for 8 years, and then finally they burned him at the stake. So this was written by someone that we regard very highly. And we thought this evening it would be interesting to hear what message that Mr. Bruno has for us today, because apparently he does. He spoke his truth. He had the courage to speak his truth, and he suffered an 8-year ordeal at the hands of the Roman Inquisition. So, Richard, have you made contact with Mr. Bruno?
Yes, we had a little chat earlier. Let's see what his energy is like. His energy is quite powerful. Quite powerful. Amongst the strongest few percent of beings that I connect with, he's quite a powerful individual. And there is this truth, is how I would express it. I experience him a little left of center, you might say, and it's almost like this band of what I would describe as truth. It's like he has been about bringing forth the truth, and his energy is very consistent with his life as we view it from here, because he certainly appeared to live as someone who was committed to bringing forth what he understood to be the truth, despite the ultimate personal cost. And his energy is very consistent with that kind of life. Very interesting. No sense of variability or waver. It's just this, almost like this singular vertical line is how I would describe his energy. It's very interesting. Very interesting.
Now, does he have a message for us, Richard?
Well, I hope so. Let's see.
I hope he does too.
My dear friends, it is my honor and pleasure to join you in this manner this evening. I am aware that the prompting for this unfolding was the celebration of my martyrdom, my being burned at the stake on what was the 17th of February in 1600. So it is some 414 years ago that I met my earthly demise, you might say. And I would like to begin by making a few observations about my life and the nature of my death, because they do bear on these times, as indeed they perhaps bear on all times. I was someone who came forth with a very strong sense of wanting to learn all that I could learn, build a knowledge base, you might say, that encompassed all things. And to stand in that truth. Now, I did not understand that those fundamentals in the way that I have expressed it until later in my life. I lived a little over 50 years, but these understandings were coming strongly into place in my early 20s, such that even though I became part of the Dominican traditions, you might say, I did not stay in those traditions for many years, perhaps 5 or so years before I found it intolerable to stay in those conditions. I had a phenomenal thirst for knowledge, and it, in so many ways, was as if that knowledge bubbled up from inside me. I just knew things, and yet I also was guided to search out how these were documented, you might say. And I was particularly interested in understanding the ancient traditions. The most ancient that were readily available to me were the Egyptian traditions, the teachings of the one that you might call Thoth. The Hermetic traditions, they were of particular interest to me. But the key thing that I came to understand, and that is not reported because it is not something that is acknowledged in the history books at least, is that I was able to channel. I connected to beings in other dimensions. And when I speak about bringing forth the teachings of Thoth, or Hermes as he was known in the Greek traditions, I was able to communicate directly with him and to understand what he was teaching. And I came to understand that we carried a deep soul connection. So once these understandings began to come forth, I understood the true nature of knowledge and wisdom, and that is that they simply arise within if we are willing to connect with the inner mechanisms by which this knowledge, wisdom, and understanding come forth. And so it was this inner connection that you might say was the wellspring of my knowledge and understandings in that lifetime. Yes, I connected to other traditions. I connected with the teachings of Copernicus, which outlined how the planets traveled around the sun. I connected with this, but also I had that understanding welling up from within me, from the connections that I had within, you might say, my inner sense of things, and of course augmented by those other beings and other aspects of my soul monad that I was able to connect with in other dimensions. So all of these things informed me. But of course there was no place to reveal much of this within the Catholic Church. Of course, the notion of channeling was forbidden, and the church had complete control, you might say, of what was considered to be truth. And I knew that what the church was teaching was not consistent with what I understood. And for many years, I tried to walk a path which, on one level, acknowledged the church's dogma, and on another, allowed me to sustain my connection with the truths that I knew and understood. It was a tortuous path, but indeed it was a very tortuous time in which to live. And I guess I developed something of a reputation for being forthright and direct and uncompromising. And there were many in that time that did not take well to this. It was not just the Catholic Church, but indeed those, or many of those, that you might consider royalty. They considered that they had some divine right, if you will, as kings and queens, and hence divine power. And they did not take kindly in many instances to words which might be in contradiction to what they believed or understood. And so it was a very difficult time. And I must say, I was able to so some key understandings with other people that I am proud, as I reflect upon my life, that I was able to, you might say, move the thinking of the world, or the world of Europe at least, forward in a number of ways during my lifetime. And so this I am proud of. But I will also say that I held something in common with groups that had gone before me, the early Christians who died in the arena in Rome, the Cathars and others, who were willing to give up their lives rather than compromise the truth that they held within them. That truth of who and what they were, that understanding, that knowledge that bubbled up from within them, was more important to them, more valuable to them than life itself. And although it took me some time to finally stand in that place, ultimately I did not have a choice but to stand in that place. And if you check history, you will see that indeed I stood in that manner. What I believed in, what I understood, both about the nature of life, the nature of creation, and hence the nature of what it means to be human, all of those things were really not something that I was willing to compromise. My understanding of these things was more important to me than my life itself. And so I stood in my truth and paid the ultimate price with my life after spending many years of torture. And those who witnessed this, I know, were influenced by where I stood. It did not, in that instant, cause them to change how they approached me, but they could not witness my standing in my truth and not be impacted. And my friends, this is part of the message that I wish to deliver to you today, because you live in a world that in so many ways is no different from the world in which I lived. You live in a world where the truth is not valued, where lies and distortion and deceit are the currency of favor. And the world as it's presented is very different from the truth of things. And so the challenge for all of you is to decide whether you will succumb to simply fitting in with the world as it is, or whether you will stand in your truth, regardless of how others might view you. You see, the time that you are in is very different from the time in which I was in. You live in a time where these truths are bubbling forth. They are coming forth and they will not be denied. And the more people that stand in those fundamental truths, the nature of creation, the existence of beings throughout the cosmos on many dimensional levels, the fact that indeed expressions of, you might say, life itself, of consciousness, of intelligence, and so on, exist beyond this cosmos. These understandings are extremely important. The truth of what it means to be a human being, the fact that there was a time upon this planet when a human being carried far more ability, you might say, than the current version of the human form does. And I'm referring to the what really was a global civilization that existed prior to what is known as the fall in Atlantis some 13,000 years ago. There was great human ability that is way beyond what you experience today. And my friends, you live in that time when that ability, that capability of the human form and the remembering of who and what you are at the soul level, all of these things will come forth in very short order. And so those of you who stand in the truth of what you know, I encourage you to stand there forthrightly. It does not require you to be speaking publicly about this unless you are drawn to do so. Simply standing in your truth in the living of your life is a powerful contribution to make to the unfolding of this time. It eases the process, you might say. It means that as events unfold, you will be someone that people will come to for understanding, because the evidence of what will unfold will be consistent with truths that you stand in, even if you keep them to yourself until time is there to speak them. On a level, people will know and understand, and they will come to you. So I ask that you use my stand, you use my martyrdom, which is well documented, how I was willing to face the burning over a slow fire, which I cannot begin to describe in terms of pain that represents. And I understood that that would be my fate, and yet I was willing to accept it because my stand, in a way, planted elements of truth in the consciousness of the planet and indeed of the consciousness of humanity. And so I encourage you to all use my example, you might say, to inform your own willingness to stand for what you know to be the truth of things. So be at peace, my friends, and be encouraged by the time that you are in and the truth of the time you are in. It has been very challenging and difficult to bring these changes forth. And there are many that have given up hope that it will happen. But on another level, there are powerful forces at work that will not be ignored. And indeed, the origin of those forces arises well beyond this cosmos. So be at peace and take comfort from my words about the special time in which you live. So it is.
Thank you, Mr. Bruno. Thank you for your message. I was amazed that you channeled as Richard and I channel. And so for our listeners who might wish to learn how to do this also, what advice would you give them as to how they can learn how to channel?
The first thing I would encourage you to do, everyone to do really, is to practice meditation if you do not already. And in meditation, I simply mean spending time by yourself with yourself closing your eyes, relaxing your body, breathing deeply and going within. And I encourage you to do this day after day after day for at least 20 to 30 minutes a day as a minimum, longer if you are able. And what you are doing is building an inner strength, you might say. You are opening doors, even though you don't understand that you're opening those doors. And so this forms a foundation. You will begin to open an inner awareness of sorts, even though you perhaps won't recognize that this is what you're doing for some time. But everybody has the ability to connect with beings in other dimensions, or indeed other expressions of consciousness. They may exist in this dimension. But everybody has that ability if you accept that truth and are open to it. And so this is the first foundational step, you might say. And some people in practicing this will experience other beings connecting with them because they have a predisposition, you might say. They have an openness through which this will come forth. Not everybody has this. Indeed, it is a smallish percentage of people who have this active within them. Carolyn is an example of this. And for others, if this is important to you and you want to build this skill, I will mention the process, if you will, that is taught by these two. They call it right brain magic, and they can help you with this. But really, if you are willing to open the door and to relax, practice meditation, to strengthen that inner awareness, this is the key door to begin to open and then move forward from there.
Thank you for that answer. Would you elaborate a little bit on some words known as going within? Because I'm not certain that many people know what that means about going within. Can you add a little bit to that?
Perhaps it is something of a throwaway line by those who have some understanding of this. It is as if, as Yeshua taught, that the kingdom of God is within. The way life is lived by most people is to consider that you are essentially the physical body that you might say, reside within, and that everything else is outside of you. The world, if you will, and other beings are outside of you. But in truth, if you allow yourself to relax and to feel within yourself, feel what is going on inside of you, initially perhaps you might feel pain or blocked energies in particular areas of your body, and it is useful to feel those and ask what they're about, because the more you ask, the sooner and more rapidly you will get explanations coming forth within you as to what it is about, because everybody can get these understandings. So feel what is within you, and gradually what you feel within you will, you might say, in a sense, settle down. It doesn't mean that it becomes necessarily calm, because some people experience very powerful energy flows when they go within in this manner. Again, not everyone does. But the key thing to recognize is that as you open this door within you, as you bring your awareness inside of your physical body, it is as if the walls fall away with time. It is as if with practice you enter the infinite. It is within that you can journey anywhere in the cosmos, or indeed beyond if you know how. And so going within is beginning that journey of understanding. of understanding your true energetic nature. Going within, for people who wish to pursue this, should involve at some point beginning to connect with the kundalini energies that live at the base of the spine and begin a process with intention to move those energies up from one chakra to the next, one chakra every day or two or three, until you can manage this energy flow, because it is such a powerful tool for healing and for traveling in the cosmos. Such a powerful element of who and what you are that is essentially hidden for most people. So going within is beginning this journey, you might say, this true spiritual journey, because this is what spiritual journey really is about. Truly beginning to understand the truth of who and what you are as you open these inner doors.
Thank you for your wisdom. When you crossed over at the time of your martyrdom, what was the first thing that you became aware of?
I became aware of angels who were there to greet me and guide me. Many that have experienced near-death experiences speak of a tunnel of white light, and perhaps meeting other beings or individuals that they have known in their life, and many other experiences. For me, yes, there was great light and also a sense of being set free, not only from the pain and suffering, but also being set free of the, you might say, imposition of living in this very dense consciousness. But really the first impression was of two angels that were there to, you might say, take me by the hand and guide me, reacquaint me, if you will, with what it means to be a soul free of living in this human physical form that you currently abide within. So that is really my first experience, those two beautiful angels that came to take me by the hand and guide me on that crossover journey.
That is beautiful. Thank you. I'd like for you to discuss a little bit about attracting events into your life. I would suspect that you believe in that also, that we have the ability to attract events in our lives, things that we would like to experience. What might you say about that?
I would preface any comments about that with the observation that all beings that come forth into a human lifetime pre-plan the major events of that lifetime before they incarnate. They choose their parents. They may well choose their partners in life. They may well choose their key friends in life before they ever incarnate. You may find this difficult to understand, but it also includes the key events in your life. So in a sense, those things will almost without fail unfold in your experience regardless of what you do. And usually those things are of a positive nature, but they may not necessarily be so, depending on the nature of the journey that you have chosen. So I preface my comments about choosing events in your life with those words. And so I, in response to your question, would say that the use of intention, the use of visualization, the use of gratitude, these tools are underestimated by most people, and they are powerful. Truly, they are powerful. They do not work as well in that dimension as they do in other dimensions. However, some individuals use these tools very effectively, and the more you believe in them and the more you practice them, the more powerful they will be for you. Now, there are some elements that, to an extent, for many individuals, interfere with those simple processes given this particular lifetime. But nevertheless, those simple tools are very powerful. Intention is an extremely powerful process. Let me give you an example that most of you will not be aware of. In your world today, there is a great deal of work being done by those who do not have your best interests at heart to manipulate the food that comes to you, to compromise it through genetic modification, to persuade people that certain foods are good for them when they are not, to package foods in containers that contain chemicals that are not good for human being, and so on. There are many examples and illustrations of this. And there are many who react to all of this in fear. And I'm not for one moment advocating that these things should be allowed to persist, and time will come when they will no longer be an issue. But there is a very simple solution for all of you, and that is you simply intend that all of the toxins that are in your body and all viruses and bacteria that are not positive, helpful viruses and bacteria in the body, that they all be cleared, that all fungal populations that are not positive, not supportive for the body, are also all cleared. And if you state this intention, I suggest in your meditation time, several times over a week or so, these things will be purged from your body. The consciousness of the physical body will simply take care of this. In addition to this, the use of intention, once this work has been completed, can be used to ensure that any, you might say, pollutants that come forth into your body from the foods that you consume are cleared as they come into your body, so that you can essentially be free to consume whatever foods you choose, regardless of what individuals have done to interfere with your food, and it can simply be cleared. It is a very simple process that has been forgotten. Now, this is a little off track from your question about events, but it is a powerful way and a powerful illustration of how intention can be used in the human experience.
Thank you for your wisdom. I hope that the people who are listening to this will write down these simple tools and use them. This idea of intention and clearing the body of pollutants that are in foods and in containers that hold the food is just beautiful. And I believe in these things also, and hopefully those that hear this will start using these tools, and thank you for that. We're coming up to the time when this show will be over. So if there are any questions for Mr. Bruno, please call them in right now, because we don't have a lot of time left to discuss this. And he has given us some wonderful tools to use. If you have any questions about the tools that he discussed, about learning to channel, to meditate, going within, now is the time to call us and ask these questions. I find the words that you use so interesting, Mr. Bruno, and this day that we are in right now, we certainly do need to stand within our truth, because there is so much out there that is untruthful. And we need to form and intention, I do believe, of being truthful, of standing by our truth, and as you say, going within and learning from that. There is something that the story that you told us about these two angels who met you upon the time that you crossed over is so beautiful. And I would like to ask a little bit about the nature of souls on the other side, the things that they might do, the things that they might learn. Can you give us some idea as to what beings do on the other side as far as learning?
You might say a soul, once it has left the human experience, is almost like a newborn, because the experience within human context is so different from any other. And as the soul comes forth to incarnate, its memories, knowledge, and understanding is stripped from it, because that is a requirement of existing in that dimension. And so there is a learning curve. And the basics of learning for most souls begin with the understanding of who and what they are, the connection they have to this totality of soul or monad in the center of the cosmos, and the knowledge and wisdom and understanding that is available once that connection is opened up and made available, the ability to share in the wisdom gathered by all of the other souls, you might say, the other fingers of consciousness that have come forth from that monad in different times of the human experience or elsewhere in creation. So that really is a starting point to put those fundamentals in place. Of course, for all souls, there is a review of the life journey that has been walked and deciding whether that indeed has been successful. Of course, there really is no such thing as failure, because in a sense, the fundamental instruction to all souls is to go forth and experience. So certainly some souls follow their agreed plan more closely than others, and there is some, you might say, assessment based on those agreements, and some souls come forth with more important missions than others, and so their fulfillment of those missions is important on a number of levels. So those things are looked at. But you asked a very broad question, which was, what do souls do on the other side? And really, if you consider every form of life which exists beyond this veiled consciousness of planet Earth, it is an almost impossible question to answer, because souls walk so many different paths. There are souls that are incarnated in other physical forms that really are beyond the limits of that human journey that I walked and you are currently walking. And there are souls that are teachers, souls that are healers, as you experience in your dimension, though the purpose of healers is quite different in higher dimensions. And there is just an enormous spectrum of possibility of roles, you might say. Teachers, record keepers, planners, implementers, all kinds of things are required really to manage the overall process of creation. So many souls are involved in this, it is impossible to express. So whatever, it is a little like nature upon Earth, where every possible opportunity for life to exist, it exists. And it usually exists in symbiotic relationships with other expressions of life. And in a sense, creation beyond your planet is a little like that. There are souls expressing life in every conceivable way, on every conceivable level. That is perhaps the best way for me to answer that question.
Thank you for your wisdom. Ellen from California is on line one. Ellen, we're at the end of our show today. Would you ask your question quickly, please?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Carolyn and Richard. I would like to ask Mr. Bruno if he could give us more understanding on what might be happening concerning the geoengineering of our weather through the chemtrail program. I've been monitoring this for 14 years now and have taken many pictures, but it's all pretty much kept from the public still. And
yes.
So I'd like to have some understanding about that.
That's true. We have about 3 or 4 minutes, Richard.
A bit longer than that, I think, Carolyn. I think you're being a little... I show 9:42, so we have a little
yes,
longer than that.
We have to end at 9:45. We have to end at
9:55, I think.
Okay, you're right, 55.
So, Ellen, let me see what he has to say. As you know, there are many levels upon which life upon your planet is being manipulated by those who control the agenda at the highest level from a human perspective. And do not underestimate their dastardly intentions. If you have witnessed the content of the Georgia Guidestones, then you will understand their broad agenda. And that is to reduce the human population down to under 500 million people. They are of the view that that is optimal. And so there are many mechanisms being used to achieve this. And what you have been witnessing is geoengineering is but one of many mechanisms that are being used to achieve this outcome, including so many threads of what is presented as being attempts to protect human health, when in fact they are exactly the opposite. So there are many threads to this. There is no doubt that what you have been monitoring for the last 14 years is correct and accurate. There is extensive interference with climate, with weather patterns and so on, some of which is to change the weather itself. Others is to interfere with the functioning of the human body. So do not underestimate any of this. And of course, you will never see it come forth in the mainstream media because that mainstream media supports the control agenda of those who run the planet. So do not expect to see anything come forth about this. The same is true of the impact, for the most part, of genetically modified foods or the impact of Fukushima, which was a human-created event. So do not expect any of this to come forth because so much of this is aimed at reducing the human population. And chemtrails and geoengineering is part of this. Of course, when you talk about geoengineering in its broader sense, there are many variables in this, not just the spraying of chemicals in the air, but of course the use of radio waves from HAARP and other installations that have a significant impact upon the weather on the planet. There are those who would argue that today the weather as it is experienced upon your planet largely is engineered by those running the game. And to a large degree, I would agree with this assessment. There is very little of the weather that occurs upon the planet that has not been significantly interfered with, significantly steered to produce particular outcomes. So what you are raising is absolutely real and It will not change in this current consciousness. It will only be resolved by a change in consciousness that awaits you in your very near future.
Thank you so, very much.
Yes,
at least more
Ellen,
people
thank you
will
for
hear
your
about
question.
It.
We appreciate it. I have, that brings up a question that I have, Mr. Brino. From where you sit, when do you see this consciousness changing?
From where I sit, it has already begun. It is more advanced than you realize. You see, there are many levels upon which this needs to unfold. There has been many years of preparation, energetic work done on many levels. It is not something that can be done overnight, and it has not been. But you are standing in the moment when the evidence will begin to emerge in the human experience. You are literally within what I would call moments, as I view it from my dimension, when this will begin to emerge. And it will not be an instant change for the planet as a whole and for humanity as a whole, and indeed not all of humanity will participate in these changes, but they are beginning and they will progress over days and weeks and months and even into years in some cases. So do not think this will all be resolved in very short order. But those who participate in these changes will be able to bring forth protection and healing for the planet in large measure, and also those who choose to participate in these changes will find themselves able to, you might say, step outside of the impact of all of this interference on the planet.
Mr. Brino, thank you for your great wisdom. You have brought so much wisdom to our listeners today. And I would also like to thank you, Richard, for bringing forth the wisdom of Mr. Brino. Thank you both.
My pleasure.
And until the next time, we await here, wondering who we will bring forth next week. And if you would like to have an email from us giving you that information, Richard, tell our listeners how they can sign up and for our emails.
Yes, you can go to our 2012 Countdown website. I haven't changed the name of that because it's still just, in a sense, just as valid. So 2012countdown.com, you can enter your name and email address on any of the pages of that website, and you will join our mailing list and we'll keep you up to date.
That's great. And until next week when we have more information ourselves, I look forward to the one who will be coming and giving us all of their wisdom. And I have to say, Mr. Brino brought great wisdom to our listeners today. Thank you, Mr. Brino. Thank you, Richard, for the work that you did with him. Bless you both.
And thank you, Carolyn, for all of your effort to participate in this and to bring all that you bring to making this unfold.
Thank you. And I'd also like to thank those at BBS who monitor these programs, who bring forth the callers and all of the great work that they do. We couldn't do the show without you guys. Thanks again.